Afternoon, everybody. My name is Itai. I'm a postdoc at University of Wisconsin Madison with Sean Conley over there and Phil Townsend. I'm happy to be here to present our study. And first of all, the take-home message is SDS, sudden death syndrome for soy, can be spectrally detected prior to canopy symptoms. This is something to remember. And how to relate it to farms. A farmer can have SDS in its field and he doesn't even know about it. So if we can spectrally detect it, it means that he can, or she, the farmer, can allow himself to have better yield assessment for the current year and better decisions for what to use for the next year. This is it. What we can see over there, this is the life cycle of the Fusarium vicolifarmis, which is a pathogen of the sudden death syndrome, the SDS. It starts in residue and soil from previous years, in plant residue and soil from previous years. It gets into the root of the plant from the current year. From the roots, it sends toxin up to the canopy, and the damage to the canopy that can range from no damage to complete defoliation of leaf. And this is up to the environmental conditions, so it's not up to us. It's whatever happens, happens. And no matter what, the pathogen will stay in the ground and the residue for next year. So there is a theoretical situation that someone will have a field that is infected and he even doesn't know about it until the environmental conditions are right, and you have in then having a severe yield loss. When the seed is in the ground, there is nothing to do, you just wait. And there are preventive treatments, and this is the decisions for next year. So how can you tell if you have it or not? You can rely on symptoms that you seen, that you saw last year. You can dig a little bit around stems and see if you see some blue fungus around it. This works only on wet soils. You can cut the root open and see if you see the infection or not. You can wait for canopy symptoms. Or you can send root samples to the lab to have qPCR. Most of these are destructive or taking a lot of time. This is how it looks like on the left. This is with canopy damage, canopy symptoms, and 4 days afterwards, this is what is left. It can form early canopy symptoms until no leaf on the plant. It can be something like 10 days. So in our study, we used the electromagnetic spectrum. We didn't use all of it, just part of it, the visible, and part of the near-infrared, which is 400 to 1600 nanometers. This is what we have applied. On the upper right, you can see samples of like spectral signatures. On the x-axis are wavelengths from left to right in micrometers. On the x-axis is relative reflectance. We can see a soil, water, and vegetation. Why vegetation looks like the spectral signature is as we see? We can see it on the left side, on the down left. On the left side, we can see the visible part has relatively low reflectance because most of the radiation is absorbed. We can see that the near infrared has relatively high, because if we look at the leaf level, the structure of the leaf reflects more in the near infrared, and then its influence on this part more. If we look at canopy, the structure of the canopy and the biomass is in most influence of whatever we see on the relative reflectance in the near infrared. And there is also region for water absorption, and not very relevant now. So we can use all kinds of devices. You can use RGB, like cameras that we have in our cellular phones. You have 3 points. You can use multispectral, you can have more or less or something like this, and you can use hyperspectral. Still points on the line, but lots of them. And if you look somewhere over here, there is a little blip. We can even see the sun-induced fluorescence by hyperspectral and all kind of other stuff. Therefore, we can say that canopy light interaction is influenced by chemical and physical properties of the vegetation, resulting in unique spectral signatures of different species and phenotypes. And therefore, it is hypothesized that the influence of Fusarium vicolifarmis inoculation or infection on plant development can be detected spectrally. Yield can then be spectrally assessed by canopy reflectance, and the objectives are to separate Fusarium vicolifarmis inoculated from controlled soybean plots and to assess soybean yield. This is the experimental design, as I said before. It was done in Arlington Research Station, Wisconsin. All kinds of treatments, but I think the focus now in the time that I have is for the 8 measuring dates throughout the season. It was done by a system mounted on a tractor. This is the system. It was mounting on the tractor that was driving up and down the alleys between the plots. It wasn't driving very fast. Don't want to damage it, but this is it. We can zoom in now on the system itself. It's called Piccolo Doppio. It was previously developed in Scotland. In with Madison, there were some modifications done. If we look at the white box, this is a spectrometer box. From this box, there are two fiber optics coming out. One of them is facing up, collecting downwelling radiation, the sun radiation through clouds or not, doesn't matter a lot. And one is the other fiber is facing down, collecting the upwelling radiation reflected from the target, in this case soybeans. And the ratio between of these two, we get relative reflectance. And because they are almost simultaneously, we can work on different on atmospheric conditions. This is one of the main advantages of this system. There is also a GPS antenna, so we can know where we're driving. We start with the results. This is a classification method called partial least squares discriminant analysis. The advantage is that it uses the entire range, and it can work with the collinearity with variables that are collinear. We can see a confusion matrix that is a result of 100 iterations. The heart of the matrix is these four, the two-on-two matrix over here, that says like how many inoculated were classified as inoculated or how many inoculated were classified as not inoculated. This is the heart of it. The number to remember is bolded over here. The total accuracy to classify between these two classes is around 88%. The producer's accuracy, it means that out of the 37 samples, that plots that were actually inoculated, only 32 were classified correctly, so we get 87% success. If we look at the inoculated, at the user's accuracy, the number here is a bit different. It means a different thing. It means that out of the 36.59 samples that were classified as inoculated, 32 of them are actually inoculated. And we see that the user's accuracy and producer's accuracy are relatively stable. It means that the model is valid. We did the same for cross-validation. We did the same for real validation. We took the models applied by calibration. We used for plots that were not analyzed in calibration cross-validation, and we got these numbers. So we have more than 80% to success of classifying between inoculated and not inoculated. Why can we do it? If we look on the x-axis, these are wavelengths. On the y-axis, it's the coefficients of the model. It means that the coefficient is more influential on the result as its absolute value is bigger. We see that there is a region with bigger absolute values. It's around from 7 to 900 nanometers, which is the near infrared. It may be said that it's related to biomass. And if we zoom in on the x-axis and the y-axis is switched not to coefficient, it switched to relative reflectance, we see that there are little differences between the average spectral signatures of the two classes. These little blips, this is 895 nanometers. It's related to the bond between carbon and hydrogen. So each blip has its own unique thing, but we see that the main situation here is related to the near infrared, and which is related to biomass differences. This matrix is from one date, July 18. It's very similar results from the next date from July 26. If we pull both of them together, we also get very similar results. And it's important to remember that this is prior to canopy symptoms. And if we look at the entire season, the x-axis are dates from left to right, and the y-axis are total accuracy. We see that the early few dates has a very low ability to classify. We had low ability to classify. It's like flipping a coin, 50% success around. And we see that the two dates that we've spoke about has more than 80, and the last four measurement dates also has relatively low ability to classify. We can try and explain it by saying that at the early stage of the season, the pathogen has not been established yet in the root. So its effect on the development of the root and whatever the root sends up to the canopy is not influential enough for us to detect. When it's established in the root and having damaged the development of the roots and stopping some of the and influencing on the biomass development, we can spectrally detect it. And as the season goes on, there are also some other damages to the canopy, insects, other disease. So inoculation, not inoculation of SDS is not the most influential thing that we can see. We can make this claim a little bit stronger by adding two other sites that we use, not for canopy, but for leaf measurement data. We can see that the trend is kept. by only by two other points that we can see, the two blue points on the upper right side, that these points are from one of the sites, and this site has very high concentration of fungus in the roots. We know it because we sent PCR measurements, and we know it was high, so SDS influence was high, and this is why we could classify it. It was there. This is how we understand it, at least. If we look at yield, this is meaning that in Arlington, at the site we have presented now, there is a 6% loss for inoculated and not inoculated. The canopy symptoms were not severe, and this was published by Steve Osberg lately. And if we can see yield, we can maybe spectrally identify it, and we can see here on the left side, we can see calibration, cross-validation, and validation. These are the values. We can see on the right side the scatter plot, x-axis, yield predicted with the arrow bars of 100%, 100 iterations, and on the y-axis we can see the yield actually measured, and we can see the range from around 3 to almost 5, and we can only assume that if we have a wider range, we could have better prediction models. We did similar stuff with corn from drone, and it has better results, and with wider range of yield, we can again explain it. We can see here that it's not only the near infrared but also the visible, and this was for one date in later stages of the season. And conclusions: also Fusarium vigoliforme is not present in the canopy detection. Detection of inoculated soybean plants is possible prior to canopy symptoms. The Fusarium vigoliforme inoculation identification is based on changes in canopy biomass and structure, and spectral assessment of soybean yield is possible and based on pigments as well as canopy biomass structure. For future, we think about applying this on a UAV using hyperspectral cameras. And last slide is thanks for Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board for finance, the same for NASA, and for a long list of people, that some of them are here, and John Gatzka is last but definitely not least. And thank you.
I'm going to ask one quick question. When is it going to be on the drone?
We have to ask for this. We have to ask Leighton Kingdon in general, and also other things to consider.
Okay. Thank you.